We are back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and joining us for the next rest of the show, basically, will be Rich Vargo, Riley County Clerk, joining us on the phone. Good morning, Mr. Vargo.
How you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing all right. Socially distancing from you, and I've got Dave Lewis on the other side of the glass, and he is. I know you didn't really sign up for this, but. He is here with
you. You know, if you're going to make me talk to Rich Vargo, I guess I'm going to have to talk to Rich Vargo.
I told you, Brandon, you got to scratch the Lewis part.
See you, bud. Good to hear from you.
Hey, Dave, good to hear from you. Dave, I can hardly hear you, though.
Oh, well, we'll make some adjustments in there, but, you know, I may pop in. I'm going to let Brandon, being, you know, you apparently have, you know, your preference. I'll let Brandon, you know, take it from here.
All jokes, Dave. All jokes. I love talking with you.
Absolutely. Yep, we got a long time friendship.
Yep, appreciate it.
All right. Well, the reason we bring Rich on the program here today is to talk about the election. This is unfortunately with this coronavirus pandemic, one thing that's kind of being overshadowed right now is that this is an election year. And we're getting close to some deadlines. I know the filing deadline is about a month away, June 1st. And at some point, people are going to have to start thinking about, well, how are we going to participate in this democratic process?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Like you said, the first critical date's June 1st coming up. Then the next one for the voters, of course, is July 14th. Anyone that is not currently registered to vote or someone that needs to change their address. So encourage everyone to get out there by July 14th to re-register if they've moved or changed their name or have never voted before, because that's what we find a lot in the presidential elections. Of course, the percentage turnout is so much greater and the interest so much higher in a presidential election. A lot of times, especially with us being a college town, a college professor will say, you all need to go out and get out and vote today. The problem is they didn't tell them a month ahead of that they needed to go out and register first. And so if we can get that word out to everyone to get out there and register first, that'll make the voting process a lot easier for them.
And registration, that can be all done online, correct?
Yeah, they can. They have to print it off online because they have to sign it. We have to have their physical signature. So they can print it off and fill it out. And there's many places where they can find voter registration cards as well through towns. Several businesses carry them for us. And then there will be, especially on campus, hopefully, if campus opens up, a lot of voter registration drives around the community.
Okay, well, obviously there's a lot of question marks right now with how the polls will look here for the primary or the general election. We don't really have any answers on that yet or a lot of guidance, but I know one thing you have been an advocate for a long time is voting by mail.
Yeah, I have been for several decades, as a matter of fact. But it's clear the Secretary of State's Office and the Governor have made the determination that they're not going to change anything in how elections are conducted in the state of Kansas for this election cycle, August and November. So that means we will be required to have polling places open. We cannot conduct an all-mail ballot election simply because state law currently does not allow us to do that with any election that a candidate's name is on the ballot. We have had all-mail ballot elections in this community before for special questions. And so we have administered those before. So we will have to make significant adjustments at the polling places. I think, as you know, I've had 51 poll workers out of 190 tell me they cannot work or will not work, and I completely understand. There's so much uncertainty out there, and the threat of this COVID virus, I completely understand the reasons why people would not want to participate in the process this year. We have 140 of our 190 poll workers that are 60 years of age or over. So they're in a higher risk category. So I completely understand. We have some polling places that have told us, or several that have said, you can use this tentatively, but we need to see how this is going to proceed throughout the summer. And so we may be required to shut down some polling places, which would require us to consolidate some polling places. We don't know that yet, but just as a matter of fact, with having 50 less poll workers, we're going to have a much lower staff at the polling places, which if we don't increase mail ballot elections significantly, that'll just cause congestion at the polling places.
Yeah, definitely some challenges. And anytime you have to close down a polling place, How much notice will the public receive on that?
I get that question a lot. It depends on how much notice I get. There was one election where I got noticed the Sunday evening, 2 days before an election, that we could not use them because of a ceremony they had to have at that facility. So we do the best we can. You know, in that instance, we got a hold of the Mercury real very quickly and came in. And, you know, back then we didn't have Facebook, but now we would put it out on Facebook and we'll get the information out there as soon as possible. Now, if it's in a more timely manner, you know, say someone contacted us tomorrow, what we will do is then send out a mailer to each and every registered voter at that polling place notifying of the change.
Okay. And one thing you don't want, and because of all the political ramifications, is having to close those polling sites on election day or right close to it.
Yep. Unfortunately, in 24 years of experience, I have had to do that.
That's tough. Well, now, just because there's not going to be all mail-in elections this year, that doesn't mean that people can't still do that. You can still encourage that, correct?
Oh, we are going. We have been encouraging it, and we are. State law only allows those that are sick and disabled to fill out what's called a permanent advance by mail application. So they can fill out that application once. And we see a lot of kids whose parents are getting older that can't get out in the community because of whatever disability or ailment they may have and sign their parents up. And then that individual gets a ballot every election. They don't have to do anything else after they fill that out once in their lifetime. Anyone else that's a registered voter has to fill out an application for each and every election. So you'd have to fill out an application for this primary election and then for this general election. And so what we're going to do to be proactive is we've developed a flyer. And a matter of fact, I'm going to review the final proof today shortly after we get off this phone conversation. And we're going to send out a flyer that has an all-inclusive, one application for the primary and one application for the general election. They will all be pre-filled with that voter's information. It costs us more to do that, but we'll pre-fill their name, everything about them, their districts they're voting in. All they have to do is sign both of those documents. And I can't emphasize enough, you can't just send one of them in, because then you'll just get the mail by ballot for one election. Fill out both of them and mail them both back in, and they will be postage paid as well. So we're going to those great lengths and spending more money than we typically would to highly encourage participation by mail.
All right. Now, I know that nothing's foolproof, nothing's 100% foolproof, but maybe you could talk to some of the fears people might have with voting by mail versus voting in person.
Yeah, you know, people say, you know, well, the neighbor could come by or there could be some political organization that knows you mailed them out and they're going to go and ransack, you know, the mailboxes in the neighborhood and take the ballots out. And honestly, Brandon, that could happen. We can't prevent that from happening. But people will also know we're going to mail these out, you know, probably the first of this month. And if they haven't gotten one within a week or two, they should probably get on the phone and contact us and say, and we'll be able to track if the ballot got delivered to their mailbox or not. So we can keep track of all that stuff, but still, even if someone does that, I've had these conversations with previous commissioners in the past, decades ago, when we used to debate the safety and security of mail ballot versus polling place. And I told this one county commissioner, I don't care if you get 100 ballots. Well, I do care if you get 100 ballots, but it looks bad. You know, the media gets it and says, oh, this individual got 100 ballots. But we're only going to receive one back from every individual. How do we do that? We physically, with every mailed-in ballot, go in and we'll pull up Rich Vargo's original voter registration to make sure that signature matches that comes back on the ballot envelope. If it doesn't match, we don't count it. And we'll contact them and say, hey, for some reason your signature doesn't look quite right. Here's a card. Update your voter registration signature. Because like I tell people, my signature at the age of 30 will probably look different than it does when I'm 85, if I'm lucky enough to make it that long. And so we have safeguards in place, and we're only going to accept one ballot from Dave Lewis.
Okay.
And we have the safeguards in place to do that. And we have had the professional training by a signature verification specialist to do that. And that is one thing that the Secretary of State's office is looking at doing for us this year, is hiring someone from the FBI to train election workers throughout the state of Kansas, because not all of them have been trained. But Riley County, a few years ago, we did hire a specialist out of Colorado to come in and provided our staff training, and several other counties joined in on that training.
It's fine that you, you know, use me as an example, but, you know, I'm not even registered as Dave Lewis.
Exactly.
So then that poses another problem for you.
No, it actually poses a problem for the registered voter, because then we'll contact them and say, hey, this isn't matching. We're not going to count it. And, Dave, I can still hardly hear you for some reason.
Well, we don't have that, you know, the ability to control the audio level through the feed there, so.
That's so. Getting better.
There we go. Okay.
I haven't potted up as high as
Brandon's. Yeah. So. Okay. Thanks, Brandon.
Well, that's a relief, I think, to a lot of folks, because knowing that, I mean, that would be the most common misconception, I would imagine, is that, well, if you can do mail-in voting, what's to stop somebody from voting more than once?
Well, and I've even had the discussion with people who say, you know, when someone goes to a polling place, they have to show an ID, but no one checks that signature against the voter registration card signature to see if it matches. So that's even an extra step that we do with mail ballot elections to secure that.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's definitely a lot to keep in mind here. When, so what is the deadline here then if they want to request a mail-in ballot? When will that be?
The ballots by mail will be sent out July 15th. They can still request them after that. So if they, for whatever reason, don't participate in that initial mailing that we do, they could still call up or come to our office and say, I'd like to participate in my mail, and we will still get them one out in time for them to get it back to us in time to be counted in the election process, even after the July 15th date when they're originally mailed out.
All right. Now, moving forward, when you do have your polling places open, what are the safeguards you'll have to put in place here as far as keeping them sanitized, people 6 feet apart? How are you going to do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues. The first thing is, are we going to continue to have our 30 polling places that we normally have, and then 31 with advance voting? And so we've already, because statewide the county clerks have been communicating via email, and we're all having a hard time finding hand sanitizer. We did find some and have bought bulk hand sanitizer. So that is one item that we do have in our possession already. I had to spend $1,000. It wasn't in our budget to find hand sanitizer for all the polling places. So we're doing that. I've contacted David Adams about helping us get some other PPE equipment. And so they're going to help us with gloves and masks and those types of items, hopefully, for the polling places. But then, you know, the issue's going to be as well is, you know, am I going to have enough poll workers to have all of those polling places fully functional? And so we still have to assess all of that, because it takes a number of people on a regular election to staff a polling place. But now we're going to have to train those poll workers after each and every individual. Okay, you're going to have to clean that stylus that someone just signed their name on that poll pad with. You're going to have to clean that machine in between each and every use, and so it'll be a much more cumbersome process at the polling place if people decide to participate that way, the way it looks right now anyway. I don't foresee this clearing up magically by August 3rd, but if for some reason the restrictions can be lifted and made a lot easier, then it would go much simpler. I don't foresee that happening, so we're preparing for the worst.
Yeah, and that's probably the best train of thought here at this point. As far as volunteering, obviously you need more. Would you like to see some younger folks maybe get out and volunteer?
I'd like to see all ages. Yeah, younger folks would be great. State law does allow 16 and 17-year-olds to assist us at the polling places, and we've been very proactive in that throughout my career here at Riley County. And state law only allows us to have one of those per polling place, and we maximize that already. So, yeah, the young individuals we like to have college students. We get a fair amount of college students. We're pretty proactive in that. And so we will continue to push that. But, yeah, we need everyone that feels comfortable to work in that type of environment, in the current environment that we're in, to give us a call, and we'd be glad to sign them up to be poll workers. Just due to the situation, I don't believe we'll probably find a whole lot of people that are want to step up and take that additional risk.
All right. Well, definitely it's a big need, and I know it's not going to go away here anytime soon. Is there anything else here that maybe we haven't touched on that you feel that the public should know?
Just know that we are going to great lengths to make it as safe and secure for everyone to participate in this process, and that's why we really are. And matter of fact, as we're talking here on the radio, obviously someone's listening, because I received an email asking how her and her husband can get a advanced ballot by mail. And so, you know, you guys are key to this process. As much as we can put it out there on the local media stations that we have, that we need poll workers, but also to emphasize the ballot by mail, that they are safe and secure. We have measures in place. Sure, someone can't vote once, can't vote more than once, and so they are safe and secure. If someone doesn't get a ballot, that doesn't mean we won't resend you out a ballot. We would then send them out another ballot, because, like I said, if the other one would happen to show up later, and say someone intentionally did vote two ballots because they got them, we're still only going to receive one. And we've had people say that. They say, well, I voted two ballots. Well, first of all, you're signing off on a document that says you agree not to do that, and you understand you're committing a crime when you do send in two ballots. But we're not going to receive more than one ballot from any individual.
Rich, we've been talking largely about the election side of things, but something also that we haven't touched base with you this morning is the fact that we are about a month away from the deadline for candidates to get themselves on the ballot.
Yeah, that's actually gone pretty well, Dave. At the state level and locally, we've had several people file for election while we've been under these COVID-19 restrictions. So I think that's gone really well, and we have measures in place to be sure that gets accomplished. I think what's really interesting, and Brandon alluded to it when we started out, you know, due to COVID-19, by now all of us would have been over-indated and sick of campaign commercials and literature, and you just don't hear a lot about that right now. And so it's going to really strategically change how those candidates approach campaigning this year, and I think we've already seen that, because it is much reduced compared to what it would have typically been.
Have you seen, are you surprised with the amount of people who filed so far, or has it been lower, or maybe not even changed?
No, it hasn't really changed. The presidential election cycle is always a very active cycle, and that's when you see more candidates come out and participate in the process for whatever level of position is open, because just elections are on people's radar more due to the emphasis of the presidential election. And so, like I said, we haven't seen a reduction in candidate filings. I know that because we've even got some processes in place for precinct committee men and women, which are on the ballot this year, and they're getting filed to for their positions as well, and township officers as well are on the ballot, and all of that's going very smoothly. And so, no, we haven't seen any reduction in that type of activity. And matter of fact, that's why we've been, even though we're closed to the public, very busy in our office. That's what I told people, you know, when we're deciding on if we're going to be open to the public or if staff's going to be working in the office. And like I told commissioners and reporters, you know, the federal and state government still hasn't alleviated me of my legal responsibility to conduct these elections. And so we have to be here to work. If not, you know, and who knows when this would get lifted, we would never get caught up, because we're having a hard time keeping up right now with a limited staff.
Yeah, and I think the one thing, you know, early on with this whole pandemic, with it being an election year, there was maybe even talks about, you know, could the election be moved up or moved back? And I don't think we will even want to think about that possibility. That would be a real challenge on election workers and everybody.
Yeah, it would be a big change and a very significant change. And yeah, I don't think there's ever been any talk at our state level about doing either one of those, moving them up or moving them back.
All right. Well, great information. Again, if people want to request a mail-in ballot, let's give one more opportunity and find out how they can do that.
Yep. Well, like I said, we're going to make it very easy because here within the week, we will be sending out that flyer to each and every currently registered voter. Now, for anyone who is not a registered voter, I'd encourage them to get registered as soon as possible. Like I say, the voter registration deadline is July 14th for the primary election. Get registered, and as soon as they get registered, then we'll send them out those applications to participate by mail. We do expect, because we have seen from previous elections, once someone votes by mail and realizes the convenience of that, they continue to participate that way. And I contend voter participation is all about voter convenience. And if you make it that easy for individuals to participate, you'll see higher percentages of turnout.
All right. We definitely want to see that. Wouldn't it be great to see a real high turnout this year during the election?
That's our goal. I think we'll accomplish it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Rich, appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us on In Focus.
Yep. Thanks, Dave and Brandon. Appreciate it.
You bet. Rich Vargo, Riley County Clerk, joining us on KMAN.
Clark Howard, Rush Limbaugh's show, hosted by Kent Matthews today. I'm Dave Lewis. See you tomorrow.